Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Janine Loudon, sometimes known as Loudon Clear. Welcome to Lunch with Loudon on Coffee Talk Radio. Brought to you thanks to the wonders of modern technology like Blog Talk Radio, Facebook, Scoop It, Twitter, YouTube, you name it, the bits that make up the 99% media, the way we roll today in Coffee Party USA. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood today. Things are looking good in Oregon. It looks like we might actually have a spring. And welcome, as always, to my co-pilot, Debbie Lynn Molyneux. Hi, Debbie. How are you doing? I always say Debbie when I say it like that. Hi, Debbie Lynn. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Glad to be here today with you in Oregon and on Coffee Talk Radio.
And later, we'll be speaking with Billy Sears, an organizer of the upcoming National Coffee Party Week. And we're expecting him in about 10 minutes. But with any luck, we'll be talking to you, listener. You just dial 646-929-2495 to listen, and you press 1 if you have something to share with us. And I'd love to hear what you have to say today. We owe our topic today to a caller last week named Chris, who asked the billion-dollar question, what can we do in the face of all the mischief going on in America and the dismal state of what we call the 1% media today? But before we get into that in depth, I've got a point to, she couldn't have had a better segue for her question than the stuff that's going on in the papers, well, the news last night and the papers this morning about, you know, Act 2 of our debt ceiling political theater that seems to be starting. I know, Debbie Lynn, you and I talked about this a little bit this morning, but I consider this positionality on the part of our Congress mean-spirited and dangerous and, once again, not helpful to the conversation. What will it take to restore economic prosperity to America? And I'm very, very interested in what any callers have to say about this, but I, for one, am personally offended by thinking that this kind of conversation in the halls of government does anything to forward the action for anybody, let alone the 99%, for anybody, let alone the people who really need support in these interesting economic times.
Yeah, I'm with you here. I hear you there, Janine. It's not that the conversation doesn't need to take place, but it certainly doesn't need to take place in the same tone and tenor that we had last year. You know, threatening to wreck the economy for the sake of making a point. It's just, as you said, mean-spirited and just out of line. I mean, we elect these people to do their jobs, and I hold them to it. They are there to do their jobs, we want people who are principled in office, but we also want people there who are willing to talk to one another and find common ground and not simply say my way or the highway.
And we have to ask ourselves, what is the point of this conversation? I mean, there are many, many nations on planet Earth who have debt, and there are only two nations that have debt, that have a debt ceiling, because the rest of the gang happen to understand that if you pass a budget or if you pass legislation that will cost more than the money on hand, that you will incur debt. It's like, it's not rocket science. And so if we're going to continue to have wars, if we're going to continue to give designer loopholes, if we're going to continue to give tax cuts that we cannot afford, then we're going to have debt. And it seems like some kind of sneaky peek deal or some kind of catch-22 for people to say, yeah, we're going to have that war. Yeah, we're going to give those tax cuts yeah, we're going to give those designer loopholes. Yeah, we're going to subsidize this industry or that industry. You know, to all of these things, to the tune of billions of dollars a year, I'm not exaggerating, but then come around the corner and say, oh, my gosh, I'm so surprised I can't afford the things I chose to do. So now I'm going to hold the country hostage and make somebody pay for my cavalier attitude about subsidies. You know, tax cuts are actually a budget expense. You know, if the budget forecast had taxes at one level and you gave a cut, then it's an expense. Subsidies
yeah, in a business,
are an expense. Huh?
Yeah, every in a business, every discount, every credit you give goes on the expense line in the
right.
balance sheet.
That's right. A discount. That's a perfect way to say it. If we call these a discount instead of a cut, people might not feel like they were beholden to them. And so here we are facing billions of discounts. We got designer discounts for oil companies. We got designer discounts for the corn industry. We have designer discounts all over the place. And yet, what do we hear time and time again? Now, I get really, I'm gripping my copy of the Civility Pledge as we speak. Because on this one, I am. I so adore the Coffee Party Civility Pledge. Anyone who hasn't read it or signed it, you may not know how much you would appreciate that I've done this. Because as a business person, retired or not, I didn't lose my mind the day I retired. Well, sold my firm. And in business, if you can't afford a discount, you don't give it. You don't give a discount you can't afford. And so what we've done is we've racked up debt because of discounts. Oh, Debbie Lynn, you've so liberated me with that word. And here we are now saying, well, since we gave too many discounts to people that didn't really need them, we're going to actually cut services. Well, that's just a recipe for disaster in any business. Just like the word austerity. You know what the word austerity means in business? Sell your furniture. Shut the doors. There is no such thing as austerity in business. There might be cost-saving strategies. You might reevaluate what your core product line is. I mean, there are strategies where one might reconsider income, expense, cost, whatever. Discounts would be a part of that conversation. Pricing
yeah.
structure might be part of that conversation. But I tell you what, if anybody ever told me to hunker down, I fired them. Because hunkering down is just prolonging the inevitable. It's like saying, okay, I'm going to amputate your leg, but I'm going to start with your little toe and just start cutting. You know, no, this is not what you do. You sell, you close, you change. It's the only choice when you're failing in business. Sell, close, change. And this is not what this austerity, what is that? It's like, I don't know. Slow motion suicide. You know,
so,
super slow mo.
So we need to stay. We had told people we were going to talk a little bit about what they could do. And before we get too far, I want to just let you know that Billy's on the line with us.
Oh, that's perfect. See, now part of the job of a co-pilot, especially when we're ranting about business or Congress being silly, is Debbie Lynn reminds me it's time to move on. So thank you, co-pilot Debbie Lynn Molyneux. And I would love to talk to Billy because one of the questions, let me just remind us why we're doing this. We were talking about this mischief and how the media loves this big flashy story like debt ceiling debate. And, you know, is it going to give us much truth in the matter? And we talked about things that people can do, and lo and behold, Billy Sears has been working on a project at the Coffee Party is up to. I'm going to bring him on now, clicking him in, and, or not. Here it comes. Billy, I think your mic is live. You want to say hello?
Hello there.
Hey, and you're calling in today from...
I am in Champaign, Illinois, about 2 hours south of Chicago.
That's excellent. And so what we're talking about today is what people can do in the face of all the mischief that's going on. How can we sort of take control for ourselves in terms of this the theater of mischief and in some level of participation that will make a difference in the America that we seek. And I know that you're working on a project right now that I'm very excited about, and I would love it if you could talk to us about it.
Sure, I would be happy to. All right. Well, I mean, if you don't mind, I'd just like to start with just a little background about me for, you know, maybe some of your listeners that aren't familiar with me. I am the Coffee Party Membership Director. I've been with the Coffee Party since, you know, pretty much day one. You know, everything that I know about organizing, everything that I know about, you know, really talking to people. You know, I mean, I've learned through the Coffee Party. And something I've learned is that, you know, organizing is a very powerful tool. You know, a lot of us don't realize the power that we have in ourselves, you know, until we actually try. You know, I mean, and that definitely goes for me. So, I mean, on that note, this is what really kind of led us to the creation of National Coffee Party Week. It's really an attempt to, you know, help everyday Americans, you know, realize that power that they have in them, that power that they have to affect change. You know, we're really asking folks to, you know, kind of make the same choice that, you know, a lot of us have already made, and that's to, you know, organize our communities. You know, for those of us that have been with the Coffee Party since, you know, day one, you know, we really started with two very distinct, kind of separate but tied together directions. Of course, online organizing with Facebook, YouTube, some of our online advocacy tools, as well as the local organizing aspect of it. You know, back in 2010, you know, we had a weekend where we had, you know, 350 coffee party groups meeting all across the country. You know, we had a coffee party meeting going in pretty much every state. You know, we got some, you know, some pretty amazing, you know, media coverage. You know, Annabelle Park, our founder, you know, she was on CNN, Fox News, I believe MSNBC. You know, really just kind of speaking to the power that, you know, each of us have, you know, to really kind of work together, you know, to deal with some of these very complex problems. So, I mean, what we're really hoping to do is to get folks, you know, kind of re-energized, you know, get them back in the coffee house, you know, get them talking to their neighbors again, you know, really forming, you know, a dialogue, you know, to really just kind of address these issues. So, I mean, that's kind of the basis of it. I mean, on a fundamental level, you know, we're really looking for, you know, kind of a civil, a sort of seasoned deliberation of issues. You know, none of that sort of screaming or name-calling. You know, I mean, let's seriously, you know, really talk about these issues. You know, I mean, you mentioned the civility pledge earlier. And, you know, that's really kind of the basis of who we are. You know, we really don't want to get caught in the middle of, you know, well, Obama said this, Romney said that. You know, we want to stay out of that kind of, you know, media soundbite period. You know, we really just want to focus, you know, on the issues. You know, and of course, I mean, we want to do this in a nonpartisan way as well. You know, I mean, we might have a particular group here or, you know, a particular group there. But, I mean, nationally, you know, I mean, we have people who are left-leaning, right-leaning, you know, I mean, all over the place. You know, we're really asking people to kind of check their party affiliation at the door. So, I mean, that's really, you know, kind of the basis of it.
So how does this work, Billy? Tell me what it would look like if I wanted to organize a get-together here in Corvallis, Oregon. What would I do?
Well, if you go to the Coffee Party website, you know, we do have a toolkit online right now. It's about a 7-page toolkit. It provides, you know, a coffee party meeting facilitator with, you know, kind of some ground rules, you know, really what to, oh, excuse me, you know, really kind of what to expect. You know, we offer we offer suggestions, in terms of a sample agenda that groups can follow. We offer different ways to, really promote your activity, ways to, build consensus, different things like that. We also have a press release template that, local organizers can send to their local media, their newspapers, different things like that, to really kind of keep them in the loop. We also have a media liaison kit, because, obviously what we're hoping to see is that, there will be some media, engagement with these local activities as well. So we just want to make sure that our local organizers are, well-equipped to answer any questions that their local media might have. We also have an event flyer, a sign-in sheet with a link to the civility pledge. We've went all out in preparing for this campaign.
And just for those folks listening online, if you go down to the chat, I posted a link to the page that has all of these wonderful tools on it in the chat. Mm-hmm. So you can link to it right there.
Mm-hmm. And we are go ahead, Jeanine.
So, I remember seeing photographs of people from all over the country, holding up their coffee cups, sitting in big crowded rooms. Sometimes there was four people around a table. I remember lots of different venues and lots of different, sometimes in homes, sometimes in coffee shops, sometimes in parks even, this happened before. And I think what I walked away with, because I wasn't involved with the coffee party at the time, but it was one of the things that attracted me to the coffee party, is that I remember seeing people from all walks of life, people from, it was a rainbow of people, if not to overuse the term, but it was also something that wasn't just, it appeared to be truly a nonpartisan experience. And you were there, Billy. Tell me what it was like for you. I know you were probably, it sounds like you were an organizer, so sometimes that's like being the wedding planner. What was that wedding like? Well, I don't know. I have to see the film, But what was your personal experience like?
For me, like so many other of the folks that attended these first set of meetings, I'd never organized anything in my life. Other than maybe my closet. I was just kind of a participant here. We were still kind of vague as to, what the coffee party really was. Because the first coffee party weekend, I believe, it took place like 1 month after, we really got off the ground. So, a lot of us, I think, had, more questions. But, what I found was that, there were just so many more people out there like me. So many people that were just really kind of fed up. It's just kind of this vitriol that was coming from Washington. And not even just from, the Tea Party, in regards to the healthcare debate. We were just seeing just absolutely no cooperation whatsoever from anyone. And, we all decided, this is not how you move a country forward. So, we all decided, there's got to be a better way. It was just, after those first meetings, so many of us got together online and, we realized that, we feel like we have a voice. We feel like we have this place where we can all go, to really talk about these issues, whether it be, in person or virtually. And, we all decided that, one of the main issues that we need to focus on is, voter engagement, getting people, involved in this process again. You know, I mean, I think a lot of our fundamental issues when we talk about politics is that, you know, we tend to feel kind of cynical and, you know, just so jaded that, you know, we really don't do anything, you know, or maybe we vote and, you know, think that's it, you know, I've done my part. Well,
yes.
We just,
yes.
You know, we need to get past that kind of thinking.
Yes, yes. Last week when Chris asked her question, what do we do? We didn't have a lot of time. She called in with, like, you know, 2 minutes left in the show kind of thing. And I said, you know, if you did nothing else, engage in voting. And, mm-hmm. you know, the vision statement, the revised, improved, you know, the expanded vision statement for the Coffee Party now is that the Coffee Party envision a nation of diverse communities sharing a culture of informed public engagement that sustains a tradition where our sacred duty to vote is the currency of our democracy. And mm-hmm. so, you know, when people are, I sort of feel pulverized every day with mm-hmm. messages that tell me I am not important, that what I do is not significant, and that you might as well, you know, chop wood and carry water and forget about the rest because we're in charge and you're not.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the reasons I'm attracted to the 99% media, the social media, is because I get messages that tell me, well, actually, if you look at this information, actually, if you look at that information, you can see that there is, you know, windows of opportunity, that there are glimmers of hope that we can actually make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And so I see what you're planning here, Billy, as a wonderful opportunity to bring people together for that kind of bond, not on my screen. You know what I'm saying? You know, I can't hug my iMac. But also, it's more than that. We still need to connect in the real world. And it also gives us a chance to connect with people that we might not otherwise connect with. You know, I have family who, if you just said, here's the political spectrum, and I'm on this side and they're on that side, but you know what? Our interests are so linked up,
mm-hmm.
so linked up, that if you take away, if you had a pair of tweezers and you could pull out the little threads that have names on them, if you could pull all those names out and just talk about the issues, we
mm-hmm.
share issues. And half the time, most of the time, we share solutions when we actually talk about them. And I
mm-hmm.
see this as a huge opportunity to do that. So we have a caller on 254. And if you can hang on, Billy, maybe some of these callers would be wanting to talk to you too. Do you have a few minutes?
Oh, you got it.
And if you have a few minutes also, I know you've probably got some more information to share, and so I'll be back to you, okay?
All right.
Thanks so much. And 254, the little ball is swirling, and your mic is live. Hi, this is Janine. Who am I talking to at 254?
Hi, Janine. This is Shane from Waco, Texas.
Hey, Shane. How are you?
I'm good. How are all you guys doing?
Oh, we're doing great. I haven't seen you in a long time.
It's been a while, and I enjoyed my experience in D.C. with you for sure and with the rest of the Coffee Party members. And I just wanted to call in. I was listening to you guys and just wanted to, you know, extend my thanks to all you guys in the Coffee Party and everybody that's taken the initiative to organize our communities and how vital and important it really is to have that dialogue, and that's where it all starts. And so, you know, I want to thank the Coffee Party for taking on that awesome responsibility to inspire people in our communities to stand up and take action and to start talking to one another. Thanks to people like Billy, who's out there, you know, working his tail off, organizing everybody behind the scenes. You hosts of the Coffee Party radio shows and all the writers are just doing an amazing, terrific job. And I'm just so proud of all you guys.
Oh, well, Shane, thank you so much. Well, I want to extend thanks to you because I have thoroughly enjoyed the contribution that you've made. the bringing the your Tea Party history to us has been brilliant. You know, you were a huge opening for me to understand the commonality that all Americans share. And I am forever in your debt. I'm forever in your debt for your generosity of spirit, you know, in terms of your willingness to look at all of us, you know, in America with an open mind and to say, you know, you are my brother, you are my sister, I see this. And to say it in a way that I think most people understand. So I really look forward to your blogging and I look forward to your contribution. I'd love to hear you more on my radio show, my man.
Well, thank you. Thank you for the kind words very much. And when I get more time, I promise to call in more often. Pretty slammed with things, you know, with life in general right now. I wish I could, you know, take more action and get more involved and take on a role of leadership that I know a lot of people have asked me to do in several organizations. It's just right now, it's just not possible. But I do enjoy, you know, opening up dialogue with different groups and you know, variety, you know, everybody from every standpoint you can imagine, you know, just my countrymen and all these different groups and just talking and you know, some people call it leadership. Right now I just can't be a leader, but what I can do is I can inspire. I can talk with my countrymen, I can talk with my neighbors, and I can hope to inspire people that do have the ability and capability and time to take on leadership roles. And so that's kind of where I see myself right now. But, you know, just a huge thanks to all you guys in the coffee party behind the scenes. Just, I know how hard you guys work and how dedicated you are. And it's just so wonderful to see. It's just, you know, I'm in your debt.
Well, most excellent. Everybody does what they can do. And Debbie Lynn, you have a great question for Shane.
I do, Shane. I want to know, you know, we were talking at the top of the show. We were getting a little heated up about the debt ceiling debate and all that's going down. I just kind of want to know, you want to weigh in on that at all?
The debt ceiling debate, part two, the continuation of the ridiculous divisive war for no reason. No, I don't have much to comment on that. It's a dog and pony show. It's the circus. It's business as usual. It's halting progress. It's denial of facts and real valuable and substantive information to the people. It's just a distraction.
Yeah. Yes. Thank Brilliant. You. We have a coffee party saying 3-2 agree. So we can share that with everybody. It's what we do on our conference calls when we are all in agreement. We, instead of going around and saying we agree with each other, we just hit 3 on our phones.
You got the match.
Dog,
3 there.
Yeah, dog and pony show. Can we get to work?
Thanks so much for calling in. And, you know, everybody does what they can do. And so I don't think you should ever be apologetic for whatever role you're taking right now. But I think it's true whether you're the person at home who just writes postcards, you know what I'm saying? Everybody does what they can do. And everything that anyone does is important. So I don't think there's any relative level of significance there. So thanks for calling in, and thanks for everything you've done and everything you're going to do. And I say that to you and to everybody listening. You know, everything matters.
Thank you. I enjoy listening to the shows, and you guys just keep doing the great work that you're doing.
Thanks.
Talk to y'all later.
Bye bye.
Thanks, Shane.
Bye bye.
So, Billy, I'm back to you. Are you with us?
Yes, I am. And I would definitely like to give a shout out to Shane Brooks. He is just an amazing individual.
Indeed. You know, one of the things that we have talked about, and I think that you're going to be talking about or addressing in this National Coffee Party Week, is the whole idea of Well, if it's the opposite of disenfranchisement, is it re-enfranchisement? And one of the things we talked to Chris about last week in her plea for what do we do was voting. And you mentioned the voting effort that might be associated with Coffee Party Week. So can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Right, you've got it. Well, I mean, obviously, I mean, we all know that it's important that, you know, we stay constantly engaged. You know, we kind of have to watch over what our politicians are doing. Because, I mean, Debbie Lynn said it best, you know, we hire them to do a job. So, I mean, we definitely need to make sure they are doing it. And we have to constantly work at that. So one of our, you know, primary goals of National Coffee Party Week, you know, other than, you know, kind of getting everyone together and on the same page, is to get them prepared for Coffee Vote 2012. I love the name. you know, and basically this is really going to be kind of Coffee Party's, you know, entry into the 2012 elections. You know, we're not endorsing a candidate. We're not suggesting anyone go work for a candidate or, you know, anything like that. You know, we're going to be asking our members, you know, to help other citizens in their community to exercise their right as an American citizen and their duty as an American citizen to get out the vote. We're going to be teaching Coffee Party members how to register voters. We're going to provide some key information on some of the Coffee Party issues. You know, we're really looking to get people to the polls, you know, to really get them engaged. It's a 10-week program, and, you know, we're really excited about it. You know, it's still in the post-development stages. We'll be introducing the campaign probably about 2 weeks after the conclusion of National Coffee Party Week. And, you know, we're really excited about it.
Right. And once again, this isn't saying don't go out and work for a candidate. What it is saying is that the Coffee Party involvement is really going to be about how to become an informed voter, how to become active in encouraging people to vote and to become a voter yourself, an informed and engaged voter.
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly.
I think that that's important. It's an important distinction because sometimes I think we become distrustful of one another because we think there's something to gain. You know, that there's a you know, what's the catch? Well, the catch is I'm with this party. What's the catch? The catch is I'm with that party. Well, not to deal with us. And I think that's magnificent. So, and Debbie Lynn, also the other program that's going on right now that's about to launch is a program that teaches folks how to become active or more active than they are now, or more sophisticated in their actions, maybe is a way to say it, in terms of participation in the 99% media.
Yeah, and this is really, you know, I was talking with one of our other volunteers this morning about this, you know, because we talk about 99% media, and it's not that 1% media is all bad, but we are really in the realm of making sure everybody has access to being the media, having the megaphone, as our president Eric Byler likes to say. Everybody has access to the microphone or to the megaphone to get their message out there and get heard. And there are a lot of stories out there that are not being told because it's not part of the national narrative that is sold to us. And so part of the 99% media is simply making media accessible to everyone. And so one of the things that we're talking about right now, it's still in the planning stages, is creating some webinars or classes to teach people how to become effective citizen journalists. And create stories that are fact-based or even editorialists if they want to do opinion pieces. There's nothing wrong with that either, but we, you know, having those distinctions which have become collapsed over the last, you know, decade or so. so that we can develop our own media. And that's a lot of what the Coffee Party is doing now that's different, where, you know, we overlap on issues with a lot of other organizations. But one of the things the Coffee Party is doing that is unique is developing this outlet for citizen journalists to become the 99% media and then spread the media throughout, using the social media networks, spread that throughout the network and viralize it. I think I just made up a new word.
It's a great word. It's very descriptive. And so there are lots of, so people could do this for themselves, but they can also dovetail into projects that we have going right now, that the Coffee Party has going, not the least of which is to become a part of a radio show team, like Lunch with Loudon, for example. Right now, the radio show team they have multi-phases, multi-facets in terms of what they do besides, you know, be on Blog Talk Radio once a week. And maybe you could say a little more about that.
So, yeah, so one of the things that we're doing is and developing content for the radio shows, getting guests to come on the radio shows, is we're developing teams of probably 4 to 5 or 6 people to work on the radio shows and then the corresponding Scoop It pages. And a Scoop It page, for those people who haven't seen it, if you go to news.coffeeparty.com, you can see the Coffee Party Scoop It page, which is a place where you can read about all the news that is related to Coffee Party, the top Coffee Party issues. And then if you have something to contribute, there's a button at the top of the page that says Suggest, and there you can either paste in a URL for a website where the content already lives, or you can create it from scratch and just write it right in there and hit Suggest, and it goes to a Coffee Party editor who will then accept it or send it back to you and say, we need to do some changes on it. So this is how people can provide content to Coffee Party and become citizen journalists. It's really simple. And this is the first step on starting to volunteer for a radio team, because we have Scoop It pages for each radio show. And that's really the entry point to starting to work with Janine on this radio show or for one of our other, I think we're up to 5 shows now, maybe 6. I'm losing count. There's so many.
Yes, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. And the whole notion here is that, you know, everything's done better by a team. And so these teams, once they're formed, can actually expand themselves out into whatever kind of a media team they want to be. So if this team wants to have Tumblr, if this team wants to do blogging, if this team wants to do more. I mean, there's a whole world out there. One of the teams posts to CNN. You know, there's a CNN blog where just people in the community can post. And sure enough, some of those posts get picked up by CNN mainstream. And so whether you go to CNN, the community post, or whether you go to CNN, what we consider mainstream, you're going to see this work. And what we know, what all of us know, whether you're you know, live on the phone right now with us or whether you're podcasting or listening, is that we've all attended events for which there was no coverage. Many of us recently went to the Unite Women Rally. And I tried to post on my Scooper page a rally from every state that had a rally. And about half of those posts had to come from the blog because there was not a single newspaper in the state that covered the rally. And I'm not talking 10 people showing up. I'm talking never less than 150 people. And sometimes 300 people or more were not covered by any newspaper, even though it was a Saturday. It could have made the Sunday, could have made the Monday. I didn't do it until Monday. So what we know is that if we want something to be noticed, we have to put it in a form that it can be noticed. Or if we want something shared, we have to share it ourselves. How much of the Occupy did we see from within Occupy itself? How much of the Arab Spring did we see from within the Arab Spring itself? Now, not everything has to be wild and crazy, but the truth be told, we are newsmakers, and there are lots of avenues open to us. And as a team, we can have legitimate strategies and plans and actions that will put what we want to say or out there, even if it's merely information that we vet. So if somebody's interested in healthcare and they want to make sure good vetted healthcare information makes it out to where others can choose to read it or not, a team can be formed that will take that on. And we have the tool, and we are willing to train you on the tools. You know, we use membership dollars to purchase the website, the Scoop It, the blog talk, you know, and give you access to everything that you need. All you need to do is come, be trained to use, identify yourself, step forward and say, I'm in. And then you pick your level of participation. I love the radio show to become. Does anybody remember the Satellite Sisters? Everything, do you remember the Satellite Sisters? They used to be on NPR.
No.
Oh, yeah. No. You know, they were all over the world. And, you know,
oh, wow.
And these women called in. One was in somewhere in like Tokyo. One was in Maine. One was somewhere else, maybe Silicon Valley. And,
uh-huh.
and they got on the satellite phone, so to speak. You know, they talked, got on the radio like this and talked to each other and shared about something every week. And yet that's what this radio team can be, bring in guests like Billy, who's still with us, and talk about what it is we want people to talk about or have a conversation for possibilities about things that we think are important enough to spend their time. So there is my pitch. There's my invitation. Come join Loudon, Lunch with Loudon. Be on my team. And if not my team, there are others. Bottom Line with Jessica English. Speaking of America with Don Manning. Politics Done Right with Egberto Willis. What is Jose's show name?
Immigration in America.
Immigration in America with Jose Gutierrez. There's two more shows about to come up. That
one of them's one of them's on technology or science and technology, and the other one is on the moderate view.
That's right. And so, and there will be more. If you have an idea for a radio show, we have mentors in the wings. So do not be shy. There's a lot to talk about. And the criteria is simple. Join the coffee party. Sign a civility pledge. Take the training. Get a mentor. Move on. There we go. So, and with that, I'd like to come back to Billy and ask you, what would you have done with all this help getting your organizing skills together? Back when it was you and Annabelle Park and Eric Byler wondering, what the heck do we do next?
Well, you know, I mean, a lot has changed. You know, in just 2 years, you know, I mean, we talk about all of these just amazing tools that we have available now. You know, I mean, I actually have a lot of people that, you know, write me, you know, and ask, well, you know, what has the coffee party done for me? Well, I mean, the way I've always looked at this is that, you know, we want to enable our members to do something for themselves. You know, I think that's kind of where the wake up and stand up tagline came from. You know, we want to be able to provide tools like, you know, obviously blog talk radio, Scoop It, you know, all of these amazing, you know, 99% media tools, you know, that Americans can use to, you know, really create, you know, positive change, you know, in their lives, in their communities. You know, I mean, a national organization like the Coffee Party. I mean, you know, we're only successful when we have those boots on the ground. You know, those folks, you know, in their communities really working to, you know, build those bridges, you know, using these amazing tools that, you know, we're happy to promote, we're happy to get out there to folks. You know, I mean, that's, I really think is, you know, kind of the strength in the Coffee Party. You know, folks standing up, folks using these tools. So,
Well, I think the piece to add to this, I think the piece to add to this too is that there are still, we're talking about, you brought to us the coffee party week where people can get together and speak. That's a real world, you know, person-to-person touch. We're talking about this virtual world where we can communicate on a mass scale. We're also talking about there have been times, I mean, we do live in a post-occupy world. There are times when people need to come together and make statements. We see Occupy has done that. Move On does that from time to time. Will Rice did that recently in front of, on Tax Day. He had a Tax Day rally in front of Grover Norquist's office in Washington, D.C., which I thought was just a lovely gesture. There are also times to collect ourselves, to gather together and make a statement. The Unite Women rallies all over the country happened on April 28th. What we see now that we may not have seen before, you know, a couple things. One is we're more powerful together. So we collaborate with other organizations, not just ourselves, but we participate with other organizations when there is a public community American statement to be made. And that the power of those statements has less to do with what the media will say and more to do with the power of our coming together as a community and the downstream togetherness, bonding, awareness that we're not alone and that other people feel this way. You know what I'm saying? It's like, don't expect to bring 200,000 people to Washington, D.C. and expect anybody to notice. Because if you weren't there, they will not know.
Right.
You know, how many of us went to the rally to restore sanity? Now, there's, you know, a non-threatening event. I was there. Billy, you were there? And 250,000 people made it. There were more on the subway that couldn't even get off. Others that couldn't even get on the metro. And the only paper that reported it accurately was the local paper. So, you know, we've learned a lot. Like you said, this is a new world. And so if we want to come together to make a statement, like on April 28th, the women across America, well, feminists or people who care about women's rights as civil rights across the country did, we are going to have to make our own media about it. You don't show up in Washington, D.C. with a million people and expect anyone to notice. Yes, Debbie Lynn, you were in Washington, D.C. with a million
people,
yes?
I was in, and yeah, the March for Women's Lives in 2003. We had a million people on the mall, and it got a coverage in the Washington Post and no more than 2 to 4 inches in the back side of any other paper.
Exactly. So, you know, those gatherings that you have in your in front of your county courthouses may actually have more effect than going to D.C.
And
I'm not so sure.
And I would also add to that that, you know, so many of our, you know, with what's happening with the media itself, I mean, with the economy being what it is and with our media being contingent upon advertising and the advertising budgets being cut, especially at local levels, there are fewer reporters to cover things. And so citizen journalists, I mean, just like we have to fill in for some of our own safety and in times of emergency and stuff, if we want coverage, we have to do it ourselves. We need to rally just so that we know what's happening because there are not enough reporters being paid to do the work.
Right, right. And a letter to the editor is a being a citizen journalist, you know?
Right.
I mean, I'm not discounting all those levels of participation. But there are a lot of ways to cut at this same issue.
Yes.
So I think when Chris asked last week, what do we do? I think we have to bring ourselves into the 21st century and say, maybe not what we did in 1969. You know, and maybe not what we did you know, I remember 50,000 people marching down the streets of San Francisco, and Condoleezza Rice called it a focus panel. You know, we have to remember marching against the war in Iraq. But the other side of this is there's a personal transformation that we all need to consider. And this is one of my beautiful takeaways from the coffee party, which is this. We need to give each other the benefit of the doubt. If we presume if someone says they're a patriot, they are. If someone says that they love America, they do. If people say they want solutions to problems, I say amen.
Mm-hmm.
And then we move forward and look for the conversation that will actually go for what they're asking for, what I'm asking for, what you're asking for. And just every time that slippery slope of anger mischief, the mischief in the conversation, the mischief in the language, and the mischief in the narrative comes up, hopefully we've prepared ourselves with enough truth, meaning actual facts and actual information, that we can get past that and move on to something meaningful. And our guest host last week, Michael, said the most beautiful thing, and I want to share it now, and I bet I'm going to share it a lot more, and I'm going to feel it, and I'm going to pretend I said it, which was, there's this balance, there's a balance where you say, something makes you angry, and it's like, it has to make you angry enough to get out of your chair and do something, but not so angry that you hate, or you have one of those blinding experiences where you condemn or judge. So where is that level? Where is that anger?
Mm-hmm.
Or where is that juice that will say, enough? This is unacceptable. I will become involved. And I will, you know, do the gritty, gritty thing that it takes. You know, sometimes boring, you know. Sometimes I get so frustrated going through all the news to try to find actual news so I can post something on my Scoop It page, you know. But it's my commitment to, you know, I speak the truth. I speak facts. I'm looking for facts. I'm looking for vetted information. I'm vetting information myself because I have a commitment that we all have what we need in those moments where we just want to blow. So, you know, there's my, there's the gift that the coffee party has given me, you know. It is a safe place for me to go where I can have the anger and have it not transform into something dysfunctional.
Mm-hmm.
So, and especially since I have good friends like Debbie Lynn, who's maybe a little more conservative than I am. And certainly friends like Shane Griff, who is definitely more conservative than I am. Or at least was. At least was. And so
but
we have
yeah.
answers to these things.
Yeah, well, it's really interesting. You know, I love that quote by Michael last week and that you're going to steal it, because I always talk about this quiet determination. You know, it's not about, for me, it's like, yeah, I get pissed off and I want to, you know, I get roused up and, you know, I have this anti-Rush Limbaugh thing on my Facebook page every once in a while, just because he spews hate and it really just irritates me. But behind that, I have this quiet determination of, like, every time I have a choice to make, I know what choice my choice is going to be about taking action in that realm. And it's not something that I go waving around and I don't spew hate in return, but it is about knowing what my choice is going to be in advance. And it's going to be using civility, you know, spreading compassion in the world. At the same time, I'm taking a stand to say, I'm going to do what I can do to get the hate mongers off the air, because that's my stand. That's my commitment. And I'm going to do everything I can do. I don't listen. I don't talk about them that much. But I'm not going to do business with their advertisers. I'm not going to do, you know, this is my stand. This is my commitment to do my part. And I'm going to ask other people to do their part so that we can have a better culture, because there are people who think that everything he says is fact and truth, and it's not. And I see it doing damage to people's lives. And I take a stand for something better, because we deserve more. We deserve more.
Yes, we do. We do. And so, Billy, we have just a couple minutes. Why don't you just take a minute or so to remind us, if we want to get involved in National Coffee Party Week, where do we go and how do we get the information you told us about? And then I can close.
All right. Thank you, Janine. And thank you for letting me talk to you ladies this afternoon. Best place to go is coffeepartyusa.com. On our front page of the website, we have all of the information that anyone would need to, just to get ready to organize. And we also, and if I can just mention this real quick, we also have a tool on the website called the Coffee Sphere, which I would love for everyone to, just really take a look at. I don't know, I just have a few seconds here, but it's a very sophisticated tool that was created by Phil Lawson that, really helps folks who, might be on opposite sides of the political spectrum to, really see where they have agreement, where they have common ground. And it's a really good first step to kind of help facilitate that dialogue we're looking at. And you can find the Coffee Sphere on coffeepartyusa.com on the left side of the website.
And if you have more to say, take the time. Hmm?
And it's part of the way down, so keep scrolling down on the for Coffee Sphere. It is an awesome tool to kind of look and see where we all land when you see the results after you take it.
Oh, so it's like a little test.
It's a 15-minute survey, and it shows you where you are in relationship to the other 10,000 people who've taken it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I had no idea what that was. I've never clicked on it. Well, then, by all means, promote that. And I'm so looking forward to Coffee Party Week. I'm actually organizing something here in Corvallis. It's actually one of my first forays into doing something locally, and it's sort of been a hunger of mine. And I want to thank you so much, Billy, for being on our show today. I know we kept you a lot longer than you intended to stay, but you've been such a contribution, and it's always fun to talk to you. And you're so far away, I didn't get to see you. So thanks so much for your time today. And to Debbie Lynn, thank you, as always, for being my co-pilot and keeping me in line, and for your great contribution to the topic. Thanks, really, to everybody who's listening today. I want to take my last few seconds to say thank you to listeners and members, volunteers and followers. Coffee Party USA is totally membership-driven. If you'd like to financially support the technology behind social media, this virtual effort, or the micro staff that wrangles the efforts of the elected board, the many volunteers, the many things we try to bring to you, go to coffeepartyusa.com, click on donate, then click on become a member or renew your membership, or you can join me and click at sustaining membership. For as little as $10 a month, you can be a sustaining member. And I'll tell you, membership is the only way that we finance all these tools that we're offering you today for the 99% Media. It's the only way we finance the teeny tiny staff that keeps all of this moving. It's the only way we provide materials to all the volunteers that keep Coffee Party USA alive. So I can't tell you how much I appreciate our members. So again, if your membership's about to expire, or if you'd like to renew, or if you'd like to become a member of Coffee Party USA, please join me. And until next time, when we have a very special Memorial Day program planned, this is Janine Madden signing off for Coffee Party USA. So Coffee Party on.